Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a man has died following a suspected drowning in Bundoran. Motorcyclist in Derry has been killed following a crash yesterday with a police vehicle. Donegal's top Garda says visitors are welcome in the county over rally weekend, but law-breaking and bad driving will lead to arrests and court appearances. And Gardaí have launched an investigation following reports of inappropriate behaviour at the Donegal-based gymnastics club. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport. Chris Ashmore has all the latest farming news after the obituary notices. A man has died following a suspected drowning incident in Bundoran. It's understood the victim had been fishing off rocks close to the Rogie Cliffs this morning when he fell into the sea. A multi-agency operation, including the Gardaí, Ambulance Service and Rescue 118, was launched. His body was later recovered on Tullin Strand and his body was taken to Sligo University Hospital. Gardaí say the results of a post-mortem exam will determine the course of this investigation. A man in Derry has died following a crash yesterday between a police vehicle and his motorcycle. Police received a report shortly after 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon of the collision, which happened near the Maydown police station. Emergency services attended the scene. However, the motorcyclist passed away in hospital from his injuries. PSNI are appealing for witnesses to come forward and have extended their condolences to the family of the deceased. Donegal's top Garda says visitors are welcome in the county over rally weekend, but law-breaking and bad driving will lead to arrests and court appearances. Chief Superintendent Gretty Sheridan was speaking on Lifford Bridge this morning as Gardaí and the PSNI launched their annual Keep the Race in Its Place campaign. Superintendent Sheridan confirmed that the PSNI will be closely monitoring traffic heading to and from Donegal in the coming days, and both forces will be working closely together over the weekend. She says it's a very important event for the county, and her hope is that it all runs smoothly.
This is the biggest event in the county for the whole year, and we have it every year, and it's getting bigger and bigger as time goes on. There's huge interest in the event, in the rally itself, and then there's obviously a lot of visitors coming then to observe the rally and then to enjoy, I suppose, the scenery and the sights and the activities here in Donegal. So what we want is for people to come to Donegal, enjoy the rally, drive safely and go home safely. Go home in one piece. We want everybody to come, respect other road users, whether it be pedestrians, car drivers, whatever, to come up, enjoy themselves and be respectful of everybody, be respectful of people from Donegal and to enjoy themselves.
Inevitably there will be some issues and there will be special court sittings taking place, and the message from Gardaí is if you behave yourself you're absolutely welcome, if you don't there are measures in place and they will be used.
Yes, we will have special sittings of the district court here in Letterkenny, and we have judges on standby, and where warranted we're going to have where we have to bring people to court in relation to their manner of driving or otherwise, that will be dealt with. Yeah, we're not going to tolerate any bad driving, and where it's practical and appropriate we're going to arrest people on site, and we will take them to the station, and where appropriate they will be going to court.
Gardaí have confirmed they received a complaint in relation to a Donegal-based gymnastics club. Highland Radio News queried reports that heard an individual is being investigated due to allegations of inappropriate behaviour. In their response, Gardaí say they have received a complaint in Donegal and an investigation is ongoing, but no further information is available at this time. Meanwhile, Gymnastics Ireland said the individual in question has been suspended as per their policies and standard procedure. The spokesperson also said while this investigation is underway, no further comment is available. However, they remain in contact with the relevant authorities. An Inishowen councillor is continuing to seek clarity on the future of Fawn Health Centre. It is the belief of local councillor Jack Murray that the nurse was being relocated and patients were being referred to either Buncrana or Muff. In a media statement to Highland Radio, the HSE says there was no plans to do so and that the public health nurse services continue to be provided at the Fawn Health Centre. Councillor Murray said the response is not representative of the people that have had to travel long distances to receive healthcare.
I have spoken to people from the local community, from Burnfoot, from Fawn, who have been told that they're going to be receiving nursing care in Buncrana and Muff in future. So if the HSE are sincere in this and they're saying that there are no plans to close Fawn Health Centre to nursing services, then what I would ask them to tell all those people who have already been directed to nursing services elsewhere that they can be seen in Fawn. And I would now publicly call on the HSE to give a commitment that all those people who've been told this, that has now been changed and they can receive the care they need where they need it in Fawn.
3,350 more women suffered physical violence from stabbings to strangulations in 2023 compared to 2022 in record disclosures of abuse to Women's Aid. An additional 520 women revealed they'd been sexually abused, including over 300 that said they had been raped. In total, Women's Aid received more than 40,000 disclosures of abuse against women and children last year, the highest figure in the organisation's 50-year history. Speaking on the 9 to Noon show, Dr. Marie Hainsworth says the figures represent both an increase in violence and reporting of incidents.
I think there's definitely an increase in the severity of attacks because that's what's bringing frontline services in. So the guards would have always been called out to domestic violence incidents. But I think the increased level of violence means that they're being called out more often. So that unfortunately is definitely one of the areas. You've also got people coming forward in terms of, you know, just general awareness. You've got a multitude of different cultures coming in with different approaches to violence. And you've probably got a bit more confidence in terms of services. You know, there's been a lot of awareness raising over the last couple of years. I think COVID really highlighted the dangers of not being able to get into families, not being able to kind of work with issues earlier on. So there's definitely been an escalation in terms of both interventions and also in reporting as well as of incidents. So unfortunately, I think it's probably across the board. You know, we're just seeing a massive increase in all these areas.
What should or could we be doing? More deterrent, more education? You know, the awareness is great, but if it just means that more people are coming through still the victims of crime, how are we even beginning to sort of drill down into what we can do so that women are more safe, particularly in their own homes, of course?
Yeah, I think part of the message is that, you know, to take action, you know, so we are encouraging people to come forward because I think the more people who take action, the more that message infiltrates through into communities because we are hearing that. We're hearing people going, oh, you know, it's not okay to hit your wife in this country because she can leave and she has rights and she has entitlements, you know, so we've definitely heard that message getting through, but also within our own populations. You know, if people know that there are consequences, then I think that's the only way that you're going to change people's attitudes.
There has been a call to extend the Rural Regeneration and Development Fund to more towns. Speaking in the Dáil earlier today, Sinn Féin spokesperson on community development Paul Donnelly said projects such as the Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter could benefit from the scheme. He says the group doesn't fit into the urban scheme, so it should be considered for the rural.
They're working extremely hard on the ground to develop this for their community, for tourism and for employment in the area. They don't believe that they are fitting into any of the boxes that would help them with grants and funding. The department has provided funding under Rural Generation Fund to purchase derelict properties in rural towns, as you've already explained. But there's no similar funding stream of funding for large urban towns, and the only stream, as you mentioned, is for urban areas, is given to local authorities. It's not given to community groups, is my understanding and understanding of the group. But ironically, just across the border, funding has been given under the Shared Island Programme for purchase of derelict properties in the Felton area of Derry on behalf of the Newgate Arts Centre. I just ask the Minister just to have a look at this funding stream or to create a new funding stream for such groups as this in Letterkenny because, you know, as I say, if it doesn't fit into the urban scheme, doesn't fit into what they're looking for in terms of their community group, that it's the local authorities that get the funding for urban areas is their understanding.
In response, Minister for Rural and Community Development Heather Humphreys said Letterkenny has already benefited massively from the rural scheme, but that the Cathedral Quarter might qualify from the Community Fund.
But to be fair now, above all counties, Letterkenny has got, I'll tell you, a lot of the Rural Regeneration Development Fund. I don't have the figure to hand, but they have benefited hugely right across the county. Now, the Urban Fund is specifically for the large towns like Letterkenny. And if I start, distributing funding into the larger towns, well, there'll be less for the smaller towns, and it's as simple as that. But I'm happy that my officials can engage with them. I don't know if there's anything under the community fund.
PSNI in Derry are appealing for information after a near miss occurred between a car and two pedestrians with a baby yesterday afternoon. It's reported that a black Ford Focus failed to stop at a red light at the pedestrian crossing nearest the Carlisle Road roundabout at around 25 past 12, forcing the walkers with the pram carrying a four-month infant to take evasive action to prevent being struck by the vehicle. Investigations are underway. However, it's believed that CCTV footage has not caught the incident. Therefore, police are asking the public for assistance to identify the vehicle. This includes eyewitness accounts and dashcam footage. Mobile Medical Diagnostics, in partnership with the HSE, has been rolled out across Donegal and the rest of the CH01 area to see x-rays carried out for older people at their residence. If a doctor deems an eligible patient requires an x-ray, then the radiographer will arrive on site. An x-ray examination will take place in their own room in the residential care facility or in the patient's own home, and a report is shared with the referring doctor within 4 hours. In total, nationally, over 10,000 patients have been visited and a hospital transfer was avoided in 94% of these cases. The Donegal-Dublin routes will not be impacted by industrial action that will be carried out by Aer Lingus pilots. Donegal Airport confirmed this in a statement online, saying Aer Lingus regional flights won't be affected. The route is commonly used by cancer patients travelling to the capital to receive treatment. Tricia Gillespie, Safety and Security Manager at Donegal Airport, says these flights will be in regular operation.
The Aer Lingus regional flights are operated by Emerald Airlines under the Aer Lingus branding, and Donegal Airport would like to reassure passengers the proposed industrial action by the Aer Lingus pilots will have no impact on the Donegal-Dublin route. It will affect Aer Lingus mainline routes only.
And that flight would be used by people going to seek treatment for cancer from Donegal?
Yes, that's correct. So those flights will operate as normal.
The time is now 12 minutes past five. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport after this short break. It's 5:15. Here's Mark Gallagher with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Anna Marie. We're going to begin with golf, and they're well into day four of the Amateur Championship at Ballyliffin Golf Club.
Experience the excitement of the RNA Amateur Championship at the Ballyliffin Golf Club with exclusive updates brought to you by the Inishowen Gateway Hotel Bongrana. Book your stay now and enjoy a complimentary 9-hole pass at the stunning Lynx Golf Course adjacent to the hotel. Don't miss out on this incredible offer.
The huge event in Ballyliffin has been whittled down to the last 16 players, and those ties have been taking place this afternoon. Let's hear how the day's action is going with Sean Quinn, who's there for Highland Radio Sport.
It's getting exciting here at Ballyliffin Golf Club as the RNA Amateur Championship enters the final stages of the last 16 in the tournament. 16 players from across the globe vying for a spot in tomorrow's quarterfinals. Conditions in the afternoon have been favourable for the golfers. The predicted wind is not just gusting as much as predicted, and thankfully the rain has stayed away. The first player to reach the quarterfinals is Dominic Clemons, who had 5 birdies to overcome the well-fancied James Ashfield. Dominic closed out his match with a birdie at the 15th. Hoping to join him in the quarters is the impressive Jack Bingham. After a brilliant comeback this morning, he continues in great form and is currently 4 up with 4 to play. 6 on the matches are still in progress, including the 19-year-old Spaniard Marcel Fonseca, who is currently 1 up with 3 to play. A very impressive performance from a young man in his first amateur competition. We'll have further updates and reviews tonight on the score from 7 p.m.
Sticking with golf, the second women's major of the year, the PGA, is well underway in Washington State. Leona Maguire and Stephanie Meadow are in the field for that event. Maguire has opened her round with a birdie, while Meadow doesn't start until after 10 p.m. Irish time. Meanwhile, Seamus Power has teed off his opening round of the Travellers Championship on the PGA Tour. The Waterford native is 2 under par through 11 holes so far today. Meanwhile, Shane Lowry is 1 over through 5. Now moving on to rallying, and competitors in the Donegal International are putting the final touches to their plans for the biggest rally of the year this weekend. The cars have been put through scrutiny at McGinley Motors on the Pierce Road in Letterkenny today, and the ceremonial start will be on the Port Road in the town centre at 7 p.m. The driver's briefing will then start at 9 p.m. in Angrenian Theatre. The Toyota Gazoo Racing Yaris Rally 2 will compete at Irish Tarmac Championship level for the first time this weekend. Since its launch, the Yaris has become one of the most sought-after rally cars and arrives in the county with Welshman Marion Evans behind the wheel alongside Kerry native Jer Conway. Evans says the standard in the rally this weekend will be top-notch.
You can never say never on Australia, you know. There's so much that can happen. But to be fair, the guys, you know, the level obviously at the top has always been very high, but there's a good group of guys behind now who are coming on quite strong. So, you know, I'd say it'd be a close race. It's good to see that the level is raised kind of universally, you know, and obviously Matt, Keith and Callum have been having a good race in the championship this year, and Josh has been keeping himself sharp with the national stuff as well. So, yeah, look, it'll be an interesting race. It always is here. And as you know, in Donegal, everybody notches it up a gear or two as well. So that'll add to it as well.
There's more from Marion available now on our website, and we will have the Donegal International Rally ceremonial start live on the Score programme this evening from 7.05. Also on that show, we'll have more from the amateur at Ballyliffin Golf Club, and we'll hear from Donegal senior ladies manager John McNulty ahead of their clash in the All-Ireland Series away to Waterford this weekend. On to soccer, and England have kicked off their second game of Euro 2024 as they're taking on Denmark. That game is currently scoreless. A victory in Frankfurt this evening would see Gareth Southgate's side through to the knockout stages. Earlier today, Luka Jovetic came off the bench to rescue a late point for Serbia against Slovenia. That game finished 1-1 in Munich, with both teams still having an outside chance of qualifying. The clash of the day sees three-time winners Spain face defending champions Italy in Group B. That game takes place in Gelsenkirchen at 8. Damien Duff has signed what is being described as a new long-term contract with Shelburne. The former Republic of Ireland star joined the Tolka Park club as manager in November 2021, and they are current leaders of the League of Ireland Premier Division. Elsewhere, former Nottingham Forest manager Steve Cooper has been appointed as the new manager of Leicester City. On to horse racing, and the Aidan O'Brien-trained Kripios justified the favourites tag to win the Gold Cup at Royal Ascot today. The Irish Raider bested the John and Thady Gosden pair of Trollerman and Sweet William, who finished second and third. It's a second win in the race for the horse and a record-extending ninth win for O'Brien. Finally, in swimming, there will be a lot of Irish interest in the pool for this evening's races at the European Aquatics Championships. The fastest woman in last night's semi-finals, Danielle Hill, goes in the final of the women's 50 metres backstroke in Belgrade just after 5:30. Owen Corby is also in a final as he bids for a medal in the men's 200 metres breaststroke at 6:30. That's all from the sports desk for now, but don't forget to join us a little bit later on The Score, where we will be heading over to Oisin Kelly for the ceremonial start of the Donegal International Rally. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, mostly cloudy and dry this evening with the odd sunny spell and some light patches of rain and drizzle, occasionally moderate in the southwest. To conclude this evening's news, a man has died following a suspected drowning incident in Bundoran. A motorcyclist in Derry has been killed following a crash yesterday with a police vehicle. Donegal's top Garda says visitors are welcome in the county over rally weekend, but law breaking and bad driving will lead to arrests and court appearances. And finally, Gardaí have launched an investigation following reports of inappropriate behaviour at a Donegal-based gymnastics club. That's all for now. We'll be back with more at 6 o'clock. Chris Ashmore's bringing you the latest farming news and views after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, June 20th. The death has taken place of Emily Olive, Emma McCorkle, Berry Hill Road, Artigarvan. A funeral service will take place on Saturday at 2 p.m. in Leckpatrick Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, in lieu of flowers, to Leckpatrick Presbyterian Church Building Fund, care of Mrs. Julianne Rankin, 38 Hall, Stevenson Park, Strabane. The death has taken place of Michael Hunter, 5, Miller's Close, Cloddy. Michael's remains will repose in his home until 10 p.m. tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:25 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Cloddy. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Air Ambulance NI. The death has occurred of Damien McDade, number 12, Cosh Aveen, St. Johnson, formerly Main Street, Newton Cunningham, reposing at his home with rosary each evening at 9 p.m. and family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral cortege will be leaving at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, going to St. Baheen's Church, St. Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Ruffo. The death has taken place of Rosaline Ward, Nee Boyle, Mandalay, Daliesford Road, Salt Hill, Galway, and formerly of Market Square, Letterkenny, reposing in her home until 7 p.m. this evening. Removal tomorrow morning to St. Joseph's Church, Presentation Road, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. Cremation service in Shannon Crematorium on Saturday at 12 noon. The Requiem Mass can be streamed live via MCN Media. Family flowers only by request. Donations, if desired, to the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association or the Galway Hospice. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A new strain of potato blight first recorded in Ireland last year is causing concern for potato growers, according to Chagas crops specialist Shay Phelan. In a report in the Irish Farmers Journal, he says they have seen some cases in early crops and this new strain is resistant to some fungicides. Chagas is hosting a major open day, Beef 2024, Securing Your Future. It's taking place on Wednesday, the 26th of June, at the Animal and Grassland Research and Innovation Centre in Chagas Grange in County Meath. And delighted to say I'm joined on the programme to look forward to this big event by Aidan Murray, a regional beef specialist with Chagas. And Aidan, I suppose it's, you know, it's difficult to just describe how big an event this is, and there really will be something for everybody at it.
Yeah, well, that is the hope, Chris, that, you know, no matter what your system in terms of beef farming, that there'll be something there for everyone, because there's, you know, we have the day split up. We have two introductory stands when you arrive, basically outlining where sort of people in the beef sector are at, what the opportunities, what the challenges are, and what technologies we have available to sort of meet the targets going forward. So that's the two stands as you come in. And then we have the day split into a number of actual villages, which will be in terms of key areas within the sector, but will be of varying interest to different people. So we go initially into a grass forage village, where there'll be a number of demonstrations. And, you know, our grass-based system is one of the things that underpins the sector. It gives us the competitive advantage. It gives us, a good, on an international scene, it gives us very good carbon footprint for the systems that we're in. So there'll be all a lot of detail on that in terms of using grass. You know, some of the clovers, the red clovers, the multi-species swards and that that are becoming more of interest, and the research work that we have done there. And then obviously, given the lengthy winters that we have in the likes of Donegal, the value of silage and the how important sort of the good quality silage is. And then once people go through that, we split into basically a suckler beef village, or a dairy calf to beef village, and then we have other villages in relation to our advisory and education, where, you know, you'll get more detail on the likes of organic farming. You'll get on the education courses that we provide that's available for people looking to further their agricultural education. And then we have a number of technology companies that have, I think there's over 20 coming in on the day, just to demonstrate some of the technologies that they're offering to, you know, help our work-life balance, to improve overall efficiencies in terms of what we're trying to do. Nice. And that. So that's just a brief outline. It's a shorter circuit than we normally have, but there's a lot packed in there.
Yeah, and okay, it takes an effort to go down from this part of the world down to County Meath, but it would be well worth it for so many people. And one of the big features of it, there's going to be panel discussions covering a number of key topics. They're going to be in the Forum Centre, and they're throughout the day as well. So tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, well, we have at both half 12 and half past 1, we're going to have a dairy beef We have a program that's running on the ground called Dairy Beef 500, where we run the systems on commercial farms all over the country, and we'll be running and looking at the key areas that people need to try and get right with regards to rearing calves and the whole dairy beef system, which has grown in interest, I suppose, in the last 10 years in particular, and that. So and then the second forum will look at the suckler beef systems. Again, we have a future beef program which is exclusively looks at suckler systems, again, on farms all over the country. We operate on about 22 different farms and demonstrate best practice. And we'll have farmers from both of those programs actually there on the day discussing what they're doing, how they're improving their farms, what they've done to, you know, to reduce their carbon footprint, what technologies they're going to have to take on board to be more environmentally compliant, and basically how the program is going. And, you know, we're trying to do this and demonstrate this as well as improving the environmental credentials, but also their economic credentials, which is as important. So those two will take place first. And then our main forum will take place at 2:30, which is basically all about the theme, Securing Your Future. And we have a good panel of speakers organised for that, and that will be chaired by Maeve Dineen from Ear to the Ground. We've got the likes of Pat McDonough, who's the Managing Director of Supermax, Kieran Fitzgerald, a well-known ag economist, Mary Donnelly, who is the Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, and then two of the farmers from our programmes, Ken Gill, who's an organic farmer in County Offaly, and the McCarthys, Eamon, and his son Donacha, who are farming in County Waterford, and our own director, Professor Frank O'Mara. They'll be there discussing, you know, the fact that we're trying to have a healthy, vibrant sort of beef sector going forward, even with all the environmental challenges that are there, you know, and the fact that probably we're going to have to be even quicker in our uptake of technology going pharma for to remain sustainable. So there'll be a whole discussion around that, what the challenges are, what the opportunities are, and it'll be open for discussion. So we're hoping for a good debate around that, because at those type of events, it sort of will tell us, you know, the mood that's there, and maybe other areas of research that we should actually be looking at. Mm-hmm. In the coming years. So it's important that we have a good debate and a good lively discussion of that.
And fair to say, you know, everybody who attends, they're certainly going to find out something that they didn't know previously, and may certainly lead to them looking at matters in a different way. Who knows? Important to stress that it is absolutely free, this event. What time does it get underway?
It starts at 9 in the morning and will run to after 4. And we have a number of other, I mean, there's too many to mention really, but we have a number of demonstrations, you know, at all the stops throughout the day. And, you know, so there's, it really is something for everyone.
And just for people who maybe can't get down, you know, from a follow-up point of view, will much of the material and what's been there be recorded, and will it be online?
Yeah. So some of the material we will video some of the demonstrations and that, and have it available online. And also, you know, if you go into contact Chagas or go to the local office and ask them, there is booklets published with a number of papers and around the different villages and around what you would see and what was discussed on the day. And they'll all be available if you could actually request that you would like a booklet. And again, the booklet's free. We run this every second year, so people are more than welcome to get a copy of that. But obviously, there'll be a limited number run in print. But certainly, if you want a copy of that, we could try and get a copy out to people.
And that was Ballybuffet man Aidan Murray, a regional beef specialist with Chagas. In other news, the IFA will hold an online information webinar on quad safety training to encourage farmers to complete a quad safety training course. It takes place next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and you can register on the IFA website. Meanwhile, some 26% of suckler farmers reduced cow numbers this year when compared with the cows they kept in 2023, according to the results of the latest Irish Farmers Journal survey. Another 57% of the 372 suckler farmers surveyed expect to maintain numbers, while 17% plan on growing their herds. Finally, good luck this evening to Leslie Trainer of convoy-based Smith Vet Services, who is one of the finalists in the Norbrook Dairy Vet of the Year category at the National Dairy Awards being held in Portlaoise. Meanwhile, one of the nominees for the Local Power Best Dairy Sustainability Driver Award is someone who has spoken with us here on the programme in the past, namely Barry Caslin, Energy and Rural Development Specialist with Teagasc. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.